And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast. Jake Seeley, Brandon Funston with you guys as always. Prayers out for our guest. I don't want to give anything away because personal life, but we had a guest today. Couldn't make it. Things happen. But so Beller's back in a few weeks after baby duty. So just like I said, just Brandon and me today. You have to suffer through us, or actually Brandon just suffering through me and nobody else to talk to.
Anything else? We have to suffer through each other.
Yeah. 40 minutes of each other. Make sure you go over to The Athletic and check out everything. What did I just recently put up? I just squeaked when I said that too. Oh, my rankings.
Yeah,
your rankings are out. I like
kind
way
of a big
too early
deal.
Rankings that has everybody angry. Oh, so what you got? What is your next thing, Funston? Because you're always editing. I never know when your next thing.
I've been thinking about that. I got to do my debut of the big board at some point. It feels too early still, but I've been kind of contemplating some stuff. So I'm always, send me some ideas. I'm open.
Are you doing anything dynasty?
Well,
not articles like leagues.
No, I am not. I'm not doing anything. I wouldn't mind actually jumping into that. It's weird. I'm doing like one keeper league for football where I'm
really
keep like three guys and that's it. I'd like to get into a full dynasty. I have one for baseball and I have way less baseball leagues. So I think I need a dynasty football team.
I just got roped into like three dynasty leagues this offseason. Fortunately, two of them are best ball. So
that's amazing because you're always complaining about how overextended you are in
league. But they're best ball. But they're so
okay.
I actually kind of really like the idea of a best ball dynasty league. But we asked some dynasty questions because so today, to like kind of fill up the gap of not having a guest, I have some of the mailbag questions when I do my mailbag on the site, which Brandon edits, that some football things. So everybody out there, if you ever click on my mailbag, if you're listening to this and read the mailbag, I don't answer specific questions because it only helps you. I'm not trying to be a mean person, but it's a mailbag so people can read it and learn. So if I only answer like, should I keep blank or blank? Everybody else reading the article, it doesn't help them. So I pick some of those kind of questions. We'll get to those at the end. I think we have to kick it off with one person and one person only, Brandon. It's the return of Tim Tebow. Look, we're all laughing, we're all having a good time with it. I don't know where everybody listening stands on it. Like Tim Tebow, kudos if you can play in the NFL. Like, this guy's going after his life. I understand a lot of people are out there like, oh, you're taking away a job for somebody he's still trying to do his job. Like, he's still trying to be a successful athlete. He's super talented. If we get to week one and he's the most talented tight end on the team, he deserves the roster spot. Forget the fact that he's Tim Tebow. Like, put that aside. The question is, Brandon, legitimately, right now, let's just say that. Let's say he is the week one tight end. Tyler Eifert's not there. Next up, I just had Brandon Fart. My dude from San Diego State. What's his name? The tight end. Ah, raw talent. I'm going to look it up.
Did he just get drafted? Did I miss that?
Nah, this is like 2 years ago. So anyway, if he is, do we legitimately have any interest? Like, let's just point that out there. Let's just say they don't have a tight end. He's the week one starter. Trevor Lawrence. Is Tim Tebow even draftable? That's the simple question. We'll move on from Tim Tebow and never talk about him for another 3 months.
People will draft him. I won't draft him. But I mean, look, if you have an opportunity, we always say opportunity is the most important thing. Volume is the path to opportunity. If he's out there, he's playing and they're throwing him the football. It's more one of those things where I'm just going to have to believe it when I see it. So I probably won't actually draft him. There's a ton of tight ends that I like that are in, even outside the top 10 that I would be like rolling the dice on. And so in terms of spec plays, a 33-year-old Tim Tebow who's never played the position is not the guy that I'm going to, put my money behind to start. But and here's the thing. If I don't do that, someone will, because there Tebow mania exists. It's a thing. Tebow Nation is a deal. And the fact that we're talking about is sort of annoying, but here's the deal. I mean, it's like, if there's one franchise that could, you know, use a little of the Tim Tebow infusion, it's the Jacksonville Jaguars. If there's one place where maybe stadiums struggle to sell tickets, you know, it's in Jacksonville. And he's from the area and he has a history with Urban Meyer and he's athletic. But here's the deal. He ran a 4.7 140 when he was a young guy and he wasn't a tight end back then. I'm looking at all these guys that are coming in, like Tommy Trimble, same size, ran a 4.6. You know, Brevin Jordan, same size, ran a 4.69. Hunter Long, who's 6'5" and 250, bigger than Tim Tebow, runs a 4.63. So I'm like, these are guys that have come up and they've developed as tight ends. And so Tim Tebow, like, this isn't like, oh man, he was such an athletic quarterback and stuff. He's going to be great as a tight end. Like, I don't know. I'd maybe pump the brakes on that a little bit, especially since he's more than a decade older than all those guys I just brought up.
Well, so what I said San Diego, I meant San Jose. So that probably might have thrown you off. But Josh Oliver drafted.
Oh, Josh Oliver. Yeah. There you go.
So their current number one tight end right now is Chris Manhertz. So the opportunity is there. I will say, like, everything you said is perfect. And this is where I'm going with it. For your dynasty people out there, for you people with your offseason acquisitions, go pick them, draft them, do whatever, and then trade them. Because like what you just said, Brandon, somebody out there, and everybody's, I know the people, not my league, just do it. Hey, what's the worst case scenario? You draft them in the 20-somethingth round, and somebody else might even do it before you do, but trade chip. Pick them up off waivers if you do just like rookie and slash free agent draft. Dude, just go take them for potential trade value. If you don't, oh well. You know, what's the loss there? I mean, I'm actually thinking Jacksonville as a whole, I think they're, my concern is they replicate a little bit of the Carolina Panthers where the tight end's not even relevant in fantasy. Like, I'm trying to think of somebody. Like, put Evan Engram on this team. I just feel like he still might be left out just because of how this team is constructed.
Yeah, I mean, when's the last time the tight end's been relevant in Jacksonville? I mean, you know, Tyler Eifert had a couple okay moments last year, but, you know, it's just, we'll have to see. I mean, you like the quarterback talent a little bit more. It's a new coaching regime, but yeah, I mean, I don't try to think back if I've ever remember like a tight end associated with Urban Meyer. That's,
I was just about
deal.
To say an Urban Meyer tight end.
Yeah. I mean, can you think of anybody? I'm sure there's somebody out there, you know, he's coached at Florida and Ohio State and Utah. I'm sure there's a tight end that's come through a system that's been pretty good, but I'm just, you know, it escapes me. And so the point is, it's not obvious, you know?
Right. All right. So moving on, no more Tim Tebow. Yay.
Yay.
We didn't talk about this last week, but the news was out there last week with the Bengals mentioning Joe Mixon's name. And they mentioned it in a different way than some people might have expected this offseason. They didn't really do much after letting Gio go. And the comment from last week is that Joe Mixon's never coming off the field. He's out there 100% of the snaps. He's just going to die on the field, Brandon. But for all intents and purposes, as tongue-in-cheek as we can make that, hearing that, we've been playing with this Joe Mixon fringe RB1 for a while. It's always been quality production, but not just quite even that second tier. But does hearing this, and after what happened last year with the injuries, but Joe Burrow is now back for his second season and a full season, hopefully, you know, this team looks a little better. Is Joe Mixon, we'll say, is Joe Mixon top 10 running back?
He could be. I mean, I think he's always been a top 10 talent, like, you know, the Le'Veon Bell comparisons. And so I feel like this time of year, we're always making excuses for Joe Mixon. I used to be one of them, you know, but we're 4 years into he's had four seasons, and either it's been, oh, his environment is so bad, it's not his fault, or his, you know, physically he's broken down. He hasn't been able to be out there all the time, like especially last year. But the first couple of years, he missed a couple games each year and was, you know, sort of Chris Carson-esque in that regard. Like, played most of the year, but then, you know, missed some games and spent some weeks where he was questionable. It's just, you know, he hasn't had a stars aligned season. And so maybe this is it. And if that happens, he could definitely be a top 10 guy, but you can't discount all the, you know, all the things that kind of gotten in his way in the last 4 years. And here we are 4 years in, that's starting to get close to the twilight of your prime running back years. So he's really got to do it this year and the next couple of years, because after that window sort of starts to close.
Yeah, I think that's, Joe Mixon kind of feels like a volume in that range, which is, you know, that's what we're hoping for. Let me throw out a name for you. Oh, by the way, I did look up Urban Meyer. Aaron Hernandez is the only one. Outside of that, I mean, That was pretty successful for the
NFL. It was.
Nick Vinette was also in there. He has some other random like fringy tight ends. But what I was going to say is Nick Chubb or Joe Mixon for you next year?
I'll go with Chubb. I mean, still? I think so. It's close. I mean, it's just Stefanski. Yeah, you don't like that Kareem Hunt's taking touches away, but Stefanski is so run heavy that, you know, it works out fine. I don't know. I mean, I'm still kind of in the teens on Joe Mixon, where I'm top 10 on Nick Chubb. So there's, you know, really, if you look at the running back position, it's pretty robust. I mean, I think it's 20 strong. You know, when you start to have a hard time putting David Montgomery, who's, you know, you can speak what you want about his talent, but volume wise is fantastic. You love it. But when you have a hard time putting him in your top 20, I think it speaks pretty well the position.
Well, the interesting thing is that you said for that is I just did a magazine mock for the Football Diehards last night. A good friend, Bob Harris and Emil. Yeah. So the first round, you want to guess how many running backs went in the first round?
Well, I just saw the Sirius XM one where 13 of the first 14 were running backs. So it was insane. The only one who wasn't a running back was Travis Kelce at like pick 9 or 10.
Oh, we got you beat. So same. 11 of the 12 first rounders. The only one before even Kelce was Tyreek Hill.
Oh, went ahead of Kelce.
Yeah. And in the first three rounds, hold on, let me find the tweet because it was, I want to say 23. Hold on.
Wow.
It was 36, so
23 of 36.
Yep. It was only, and then no, 21 of the first 36.
So, wow.
And that's the thing is I only bring that up because of what you just said is like, it looks like that top 20 is like, wow, David Montgomery's 20. Like I have David Montgomery at 20. But I have Myles Gaskin at 21. You could even argue that's low. But then right after that, boom, it's shelf. Dive off a cliff, question marks, because it's ETN rookie, Mike Davis. I know people will argue for him. We're going to talk about Mike Davis today. But
okay,
Josh Jacobs now with Kenyon Drake. Kareem Hunt, the back of a timeshare. Melvin Gordon with a rookie now in his lap. You know, the Tampa Bay guys, James Conner, David Johnson, James Robinson. Like, it's just question mark, question mark, question mark, question mark, question mark. So it's very interesting.
Not only there you go, it's 21. Those 21 guys that basically averages 7 per round for the first three rounds out of 12. It's pretty crazy. So and receiver super deep as well. So that kind of contributes to everybody wanting to get in on running back early.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's the little birdie? Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
100%. Actually, in that draft, I got Kittle in the fourth round.
Wow. I haven't seen him fall out of the third.
That's neither have I. And you know me. You know, I always talk about the Kelce Kittle thing. But if you give me Kittle falling to the fourth, I will do that every single time.
No doubt.
Every time. And I don't like taking tight ends early. But anyway, so Julio Jones, I want to bring him up too because it wasn't the rumor itself. We've been hearing for the rumor for the longest time. The Colts today said that they might be the most aggressive offer. It's not that. I've been watching drafts. I'm in a two dynasty drafts, fortunately, best ball. I did the mock last night, and there's a name I've been seeing, and this is why I want to talk about him today, Brandon. Russell Gage is starting to go in like the wide receiver 40s, and I think it's everybody speculating that if Julio is gone, Gage value rockets. And I see your face, like, so nobody can see Brandon's face, but except for me. I kind of had the same feeling, like, if this happens, and I know he's a rookie, Kyle Pitts is the number two, and then it's Russell Gage, Hayden Hurst, and Zacchaeus or somebody. Like, I'm not putting Gage inside my top 40.
Yeah, I mean, it's to me, it's they're not interchangeable. I mean, Russell Gage is primarily like a slot guy, and Julio Jones is a generational power forward wide receiver. Like, you don't just lose that guy and say, oh, Russell Gage is our guy. I think this will be a case of it takes a village to replace Julio Jones kind of a deal. So I agree Kyle Pitts will step up, but God, who knows? Will they go out and just like throw a Golden Tate on the roster or something, or just in, you know, throw more to maybe Javian Hawkins? That's becomes his thing, is Nyheim Hines. I've seen the Nyheim Hines comparison. Like, you know, does he become the Nyheim Hines of this offense and they throw to the running back more? Mike Davis is a good receiver. I mean,
well, let's put it this way. So one thing is, I didn't expect a Hillary Clinton reference on the show. I wasn't expecting that. So last year's stat line for Gage, 72 receptions, 786 yards, to your point about the slot, only 10.9 per catch, 4 touchdowns. Do you know how many targets he had last year?
So he had 72 receptions. I'll say he's about a 72%. I'll say 100, a little, about 100.
You're very close. 110.
Okay.
Even if Julio Jones is gone, he missed 7 games. Like, do we really think he's going up from 110? You add Kyle Pitts, you have... Again, I don't know, like, Zacchaeus is not like the greatest receiver ever, but Christian Blake's a thing at times. Brandon Powell's a thing at times. I don't know if Brandon Powell's still on the roster. But anyway, do we really think Gage is going up from 110? Like, even
no, and his role is not changing. He's basically, you know,
right.
They'll put somebody else in Julio Jones's spot, and are they going to really target Russell Gage, like you said, 125 times, like 130 times among the league, you know, leaders in targets? No way.
Okay, so I just want to make sure I wasn't crazy, because I'm seeing the Russell Gage thing happen, and that's why I want to talk about this. So I want to ask you another one. This is another one that if you've been following my Twitter, I'm not like, oh, follow me on Twitter. I'm just saying, like, I've been having this conversation with a lot of people, and you and I kind of touched on this, but I wanted to like dive into it. There's been talk about Justin Herbert's year number 2, and Brandon knows this because we kind of talked about it off to the side, but it's like, I'm a little hesitant of, and again, maybe it's the college watching Herbert, and that's what we talked about. You said you saw a lot of them too, because you're on the West Coast, but year 2, the NFL adjustment, we've seen quarterbacks struggle in year 2 adjustment or not take the step forward. Baker Mayfield, a perfect example. We've seen this before. And the thing that everybody's talking about is like, well, the coaching change is going to help him, but a lot of times the coaching change, a new playbook, does the exact opposite. It takes some time for them to develop. Where are you on Justin Herbert? Are you stock up, stock down, or stock neutral for Justin Herbert? Because I'm not stock down, but I would say, like, if it was 10, 5, 1, so 1 is stock down, 10 is stock up, and 5 is dead in the middle, I'm like a 4.5. I'm hesitant
down
on
the
Herbert.
Middle. Yeah, well, so I'm just looking at his ADP because I know I have him ranked at number 8 among
quarterbacks. And I've seen him go higher than that. I've seen him go like the 5th, 6th quarterback off the board.
His NFC ADP is 6. So
yeah, I've seen him go in front of Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, and that's too high. And really, I want to be in the draft where Justin Herbert falls late and he ends up being my guy, you know, and, you know, people are, all buying in on the buzz of Trevor Lawrence or Joe Burrow has like a nice preseason with his new Jamar Chase weapon and things start to move for him. You know, I just want Justin Herbert to fall to me. And I was not a Justin Herbert fan going into draft. I don't know how deep of a dive I can do on him because everything I saw with him last year was good. It looked good. He had that couple week thing where he cut his hair and everybody was saying he lost his, you know,
Samson himself.
Yeah, his Samson to himself. But, you know, whatever. He finished strong. And that was just, I think, just a blip on the radar. But he was just way better than what I saw at Oregon. And I was impressed. And I'm like, okay, well, if he's going to have a sophomore slump, what's it going to be? Like, what did I see that could be a problem for him? And who knows? Maybe it'll happen. I mean, I guess you could kind of look at Carson Wentz as somebody who, you know, but maybe it wasn't his second year, but he kind of started his career really strong and then things fell off the map and they're not dissimilar kind of quarterbacks. So, so things can go awry, but man, I like him. I liked what I saw. I have to admit, I just was wrong about him and where, you know, I thought that he was overdrafted where he went and I was wrong.
No, I'm with you. I mean, we're talking about over 4,300 yards, 67 completion percentage, 31 to 10, touchdown interceptions. I mean, these are numbers that just kind of, and I will say the one other thing fantasy wise that I think skews it just a tad, and you know, he does run a little bit, but 5 rushing touchdowns on 234 yards, like that just, yeah. What if it's 2 or 3, you know, so you got to offset that. And just, again, I don't hate him, but, and again, this is why I like talking with you and everybody that we talk to and getting other opinions, because it sounds like we're in the same boat of this. I just, the 3 years of Oregon cloud my, like, you didn't improve playing against subpar competition and you looked terrible at times. And I know that's not the be all end all, but it's just, it's tough to get that. It's tough to get that out of your mind and look at them fresh and not say, you know, it's almost kind of like, is it a rose color glasses? What's the opposite of rose color? Like poop color glasses? I go in looking for the flaws, and that's not fair to him. I'm immediately saying that. That's not fair to go in with like poop color glasses. We're making that a thing. Nando will love it.
I love it. And here's the other thing about the quarterback position is like, I have him at 8, but I'm looking at just the ADP down to like Matt Ryan about 15. You're right. If he doesn't run for 5 touchdowns and he runs for 2, like this grouping could be so close that that makes him QB 14 or 15 instead of QB 8 or QB 7.
You know, I have him QB 9. Did you rank Deshaun Watson?
I didn't rank him inside. I ranked him low.
Yeah, I have him at 7 with caveat. You know, this is like.
Well, I'm looking on the ADP right now, and he's 16, which is literally splitting it down the middle. You know, it's like it's kind of like picking the middle of the QB class and saying, we're going to throw him there, and then he's going to move one way or the other, depending on how news breaks.
That's so tough. I just did a dynasty startup, and I took him about 12th, 13th round. My first quarterback, I already had. Who was my first quarterback? I can only remember, but I'm going to just pull it. Dak was my first quarterback. So at that point, he was already like the 17th, 18th quarterback, and I'm like, it's dynasty too. Like, I don't like it because, you know, partly, especially if it's true, I don't like
it. But his value still, I mean, this is, I don't really want to deep dive on Deshaun Watson, but like right now, I feel like no matter what happens, he plays another stamp in the NFL at some point.
Right. And that's the big thing. So
I mean, all these are all civil suits. So
yeah,
you know, it could be civil suit, NFL penalty. At some point he comes back, whatever, you know,
I mean,
you
can
think personally what you want about Deshaun Watson, but he probably plays in the NFL again.
Oh, it's the same thing as back in the day with like Aroldis Chapman and Jose Reyes in baseball. Like, if you don't, I mean, Tyreek Hill, you can do all good on this list. If you don't want a roster, I don't blame you if you want to take that stance at all. It's, you know, for fantasy, that's a complete side subject. But I want to talk about one guy I have a lot of love for already, Brandon. I want to get your opinion on this because, so the guest today we're going to talk to, a lot of love for A.J. Brown. And I love A.J. Brown. You know I love A.J. Brown. And I love what I see his tweets and we tweet and just the A.J. Brown. But there's somebody on his team I don't think is getting enough love. And it's not Firkser, for everybody out there that thinks it's Firkser. My issue with Firkser is I like Firkser, but it's the same issue I had last year, Brandon. It's the same issue as like the third guy in the passing offense is nothing. And it's just maybe a blip 5 times throughout the year. Maybe Firkser ends up being the second guy, but I don't think he is. I think the second guy coming in, who a lot of people liked as the third or fourth guy on his previous team, is Josh Reynolds. Like, am I the crazy one? Do I have too much love for Josh Reynolds?
Well, I would have said, let's just wait till after the draft, but they didn't really do anything in the draft.
So, they had a Des Fitzpatrick late.
What I like is that the Titans are showing a ton of like, we're good, you know, kind of vibes about Josh Reynolds. And look, they're like, we don't throw a lot, but this is a guy that can maybe come in and be almost a one for one with Corey Davis, especially with AJ Brown drawing all that and Derrick Henry drawing all that attention, just running as a, hey guy, here's a big target, 6'3", you know, and showed pretty well last year. I mean, you know, stepped up a bit and I think he's at a right point in a weird way. I mean, he's Corey Davis in the fact it wasn't last year. Corey Davis was 5th year, you know, and hadn't done a ton, but here we are. Josh Reynolds, another 5th year guy that could maybe step in and do a lot of Corey Davis things in this offense.
Well, that's the thing. Like it's the Corey Davis also being able to play a lot. What we've talked about, why my concern in the Jets offense, it was 4th year, by the way. 5th year was Devontae Parker. He broke out. Parker was 5th year. Corey Davis was 4th year. Who was the other one? There was another 4th year one. I can't think of who it is. But anyway, the Corey Davis being able to play alongside an alpha like that. And that's why I'm concerned about him being the number one. That's a topic for another day we can get to and save the Corey Davis discussion.
Well, look at this. Look at the depth chart of receivers. I mean, if you aren't a deeply knowledgeable football fan, like Des Fitzpatrick, Nick Westbrook, Ikinney, Racy McMath, Cody Hollister.
McMath was the other one they took late.
Yeah.
Cameron Marcus Batson, Johnson's there now.
Marcus Johnson, Chester Rogers, a couple Colts. Chester Rogers, former Rashard Davis and Fred Brown.
I was legitimately shocked Chester Rogers was still in the league when I saw I know. I thought he was done.
But good Lord, that is maybe, I mean, if you get past the first two, that might be the most obscure grouping of depth chart
and I think receivers. I think the usage of Josh Reynolds makes people forget that he's actually 6'3", almost 200 pounds. Like, yeah, he's not quite Corey Davis, but they didn't bring him in to be Adam Humphries.
Right.
That's more right. of that Westbrook.
So how many targets did Corey Davis get last year? Do you have that list up?
How many what?
Targets.
Targets, let's see. I can pull it up real quick because Corey Davis finished pretty high.
I mean, Reynolds had 81.
92.
Okay. I mean, that's...
And he only caught 65.
Yeah.
So you give me... And that's 14 games, by the way. You give me 100 targets over 17 games, but don't forget the 17, but not... Right. I mean, for points per game, we don't care about. But, you know, still, 100 targets over 16 games. 100 targets over 16 games for Josh Reynolds. You can tell me he puts up 900 and... How many touchdowns did Corey Davis have? He only had 5 last year. Yeah. That's doable for Josh Reynolds.
Absolutely. Yeah, and how many yards? 900 yards, 65?
984.
And that was... Well, I'm looking at... non-PPR, but in PPR, what was that?
Half point PPR. That's what we do. He was wide receiver 31.
Wide receiver 31.
31, and in points per game, he was wide receiver 29.
But he only has to be like wide receiver 40 to have a massive return on investment.
Right.
Like,
I don't want to keep harping and going back to this dynasty because dynasty kind of skews it a little bit. But in dynasty, got him in the 18th round.
Yeah. I mean, he's not that old either. He's got, you could look at him as another 3 or 4 solid years. I mean, what did he sign? What was his deal for?
Wasn't he one of the that's a lot of ones. Wasn't he one of the 1 year deals?
Oh, well, that could be problematic. These players don't always do what's best for their fantasy value. You know, if he does well and decides he wants to play the market again, he could go some places a lot worse off than where he's at right now.
How much worse off do you get than like, I mean, what is he going to go to? Baltimore? He can't get much.
That would be way worse. But I mean, because at least in this offense, when the quarterback does throw, he does it fairly efficiently, you know. And in Baltimore, they just don't know how to use theirs as receivers. Hopefully they'll figure that out for the sake of Rashad Bateman.
Let's see. Josh, oh, there goes somebody. Barkley. Live Barkley.
Barkley has something to say about Josh Reynolds.
1 year, 1.7. Yeah. So, but you can build off this. But anyway, yeah, that skews dynasty a little bit. Here's the one other thing I want to talk about for today, and this actually came out a little bit before we jumped on the show, is the Falcons RB coach, Desmond Kitchens. Did you see what he said about the backfield?
Yeah, so it's an open door, right? Like a window of opportunity for everybody or something?
Door is wide open. And yeah. I think we, we always take the coach speak a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but he went on to say a few things. He said, Davis is a natural pass catcher. Which feels good because, we want Mike Davis on the field. And we knew that about Mike Davis. We want him out there getting 15, 20 touches a week. So good. Mike Davis, they didn't address it until undrafted free agency. So let's get to that part because he said, I've gotten a lot of background on Olsen.
That's nothing.
I would hope you did.
And we're just going to leave it at that, which is terrible for Olsen in my mind.
Yeah, that's going to be a really bad thing. He said the final part was Hawkins brings speed to the room that it didn't have. Yeah. And I'm on some Hawkins. You know that we're not going to get another James Robinson. Let's be clear on that. But if you're looking for the undrafted rookie running back who can make some noise, he didn't mention Caleb Huntley. So he mentioned Hawkins and he said the speed. Where are you on Hawkins? I love him. I'm taking Hawkins as like an RB5 because even in redraft, I want him on my teams as a potential. You brought up Nyheim Hines earlier. Nyheim Hines, Tariq Cohen, back in the day Theo Riddick, that type of stuff.
Yeah, that guy is, the J.D. McKissick, that guy is an impactful guy that you love to have on your roster when you're going through those bye weeks and you're like, I can throw in a guy that, it's going to be. You're going to give me some catches to maybe make some big plays here and there as a change of pace guy. Atlanta is ripe for him getting an opportunity like this. And we were all shocked that they didn't address the running back position in a greater way in the draft. I mean, did they even draft a running back? They didn't, right?
No, it was Huntley and Hawkins in the undrafted session.
Yeah, and Mike Davis is always...
they met in a room afterwards, a little conference.
I mean, Mike Davis has always been the secondary back, so it seemed unbelievable that someone finally just said, you know what, he's our guy. And the weird thing is, it's a huge upgrade over what they had last year, you know, the twilight of his career, Todd Gurley and the Brian Hills, and missing the guy from Southern Miss. What's his name? Smith. Ito Smith. Oh. Yeah, it's just it is an upgrade, but I thought they would maybe look to upgrade it even further. So good for Mike Davis, but yeah, absolutely. I'm in on Javian Hawkins being that complimentary running back that's impactful for fantasy.
Yeah, I'm 100% with you on that one. So as mentioned, we're going to do a little bit of mailbaggy stuff here. So figures some questions that kind of get kind of specific, some fun with it, but there's one that ties into the first question. And we were going to put him on pause for a while, but we do have to talk Aaron Rodgers again, but kind of a little bit different angle, because we're hearing continued rumors. We're talking the Broncos are putting together aggressive offers, but that the Packers are putting together their own aggressive offer contract-wise to keep Rodgers. It's the Rodgers. That's in its own right. Like, everybody knows what you're going to do about Rodgers. We're not going to tell you anything. You have an opinion on Rodgers. You're going to draft them, don't draft them, dynasty, whatever, redraft when you're draft. Like, if the situation still is what it is. As of today, for people this offseason, drafting dynasty and early and all that type of stuff, that's where I want to go with this, because I've been going down the road, Brandon, of I'm drafting Davante Adams. Like, I'm taking him in dynasty in the third round. I took him in that mock draft last night. I took him with the 207 as, I think, the fifth or sixth wide receiver off the board, because I'm looking at it like this. This is my perspective. Davante Adams with Jordan Love is a top 10 wide receiver. If Aaron Rodgers is back, he's number one again. So I get the trepidation, but I don't get pushing him down to the bottom end of wide receiver one tier. Am I nuts and I'm not discounting him enough if it is Jordan Love?
I'm wondering, well, that's just the thing. Like, we haven't seen anything of Jordan Love. We don't have a good feel for like how, you know, I mean, his own GM who, you know, is trying to, who is in a battle with, you know, Aaron Rodgers, is saying he's a long ways off. You know, it doesn't help his.
You know what? I don't need to cut you off. I think that was GM speak for Rodgers. I really do. I really think that was
like, hey, we want to let you know that he's
your job's safe for at least another 2 years.
Well, can I just pull back on this whole Aaron Rodgers thing? I was bringing this question up the other day. I was like, okay, what's Aaron Rodgers, you know, prime window, or what's his window? 4 more years of really good play.
Yeah.
Okay. So legitimate Super Bowl contender every year in that 4 year window, I would say right now.
Right.
What's your GM worth? Is your GM worth more than a Super Bowl opportunity? Like, Brian Gutekunst, you know, created this whole scenario. Why is it that, you know, he gets to keep his job? You know, if Aaron Rodgers wants to stay, if Gutekunst is gone, why would I know it's a publicly owned team, but someone's pulling the trigger on that. Like, I would just boot him, because I'm not overly impressed, other than like what the Smiths that he brought in free agency that 1 year. Like, what has he done offensively? I don't know. I mean, certainly you've disenfranchised your the greatest, one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time,
right?
Like, that should be job one, and you didn't do job one. So I'm at a loss why his job security is safe.
I think he knows his job is at risk, and I think that's why you're starting it. Like, that's, I can be stupid, but I kind of feel like that was when I read that yesterday. Like, look, you drafted Jordan Love knowing he was a developmental quarterback. You drafted him super early knowing he's draft. And now you're saying he's not even close. That just felt to me like, I don't believe you. I don't believe he's not close. Like, and the thing with Davante Adams, I keep going back to, is like, how many years in a row do we say Allen Robinson, oh, he's playing with terrible quarterback, finishes top 10 with terrible quarterbacks.
I was going to ask you for some examples, because I was like at a loss, but now all of a sudden I've just kind of thought of people like worst case scenarios. Like, Terry McLaurin's had a couple worst case scenarios. It's been great. DeAndre Hopkins in Houston, you know, had a had some worst case scenarios before Deshaun Watson showed up, you know, and was great. So
what's the magic bullet with these three guys that you just mentioned? Volume. Even if Rodgers is gone. Yes, they drafted Amari Rodgers, but you're still talking about Amari Rodgers and Alan Lazard and Marquez Valdes-Scantling. Like, he's still walking into another 140 targets.
Yeah, yeah, no, you're right. So I think you're right. I mean, at worst, you could say he's, all right, he's top 10, top 12, but you're right. I mean, I was going to ask you before we even had this conversation where Davante Adams went, because I know in the SiriusXM draft that just happened, he was like the second wide receiver off the board, and that was in the second round. But I think what we're going to see here until this thing gets resolved is him continue to fall a little bit more and a little bit more, as it seems like it's more realistic that Rodgers could get dealt.
Yeah. I mean, before him was Hill, Ridley, Diggs, Metcalf, Jefferson, and Hopkins all went before him.
Wow. So the Ridley people are buying into the Julio Jones being gone as well. Yeah. So,
and AJ Brown too. So he was 8th off the board. Got him right before Keenan Allen and Chris Godwin.
Yeah, I mean, because you're close to his floor, but you still have the potential of a ceiling, you know, which is kind of nice.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
That's where
you want to do. All right, so that brings us to mailbag question time. I'm going to try and chop this one down a little bit because it's super long, but it ties in. This is why I want to do, because it ties into the Aaron Rodgers, Davante Adams thing. It's from Rhett T. We don't get last names, by the way. So we just Rhett T, by the way. So Rhett, he's got a 14-team league, blah, blah, blah. Four keeper league, no round penalty, blah, 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 some more stuff. His options at quarterback, one quarterback, Kyler Dak. Running back is Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Wide receivers are Adams and Lockett, and then his tight end is Andrews. So he's talking about a trade, blah, blah, blah. So this is the part. You don't need to write this down, you know, because this isn't the keepers part of the question. This is the part of the question. Sorry, I should have mentioned that. He said, so many unknowns with Green Bay. Would you consider trading Davante for straight up Akers or Gibson plus a first round pick swap? He moves from 10 to third.
Well, look, Cam Akers is going, I've seen him going in the middle of the first round right now. So, and he's a second year running back who didn't get a ton of mileage in his first.
But if Rodgers is back, does Adams go before Akers?
If Rodgers is back, probably. Yeah, because I've seen him going like RB, anywhere in the RB7 to RB12 range. You know, kind of that's where he lands. And Davante Adams
guy,
is
an, or are you the cash out and take what I can know in hand?
Well, in a keeper league, I'll take the running back. I'm fine with that. Like, okay. To get the question mark out of the way, like, I can sleep at night with Cam Akers for Davante Adams. Like, I'll be fine with that. I got a first round running back, and he's a young guy in a keeper league. I can keep him for the next 3-4 years, 5 years, depending on how well he's doing year over year. But it seems like he's in a good situation. So I could, and Davante Adams, I mean, he's number one receiver right now. Like, he's starting to get up there. I mean, starting. I mean, I still feel like there's 3 great years left in him, and then some, probably some good ones after that. So
he's turning 29 at the end of this year.
Oh, okay. Barely. There you go. What's Julio, 32? So, I mean, we're starting to question his career cliff and where it's at this point.
Julio's also, he just turned 32. Julio's also like 10 times taller with a billion leg injuries. So
yeah.
So I think that's interesting too. The first round pick swap does nothing for me, because if you're talking about four keepers, the first round is essentially
a fifth rounder.
Yeah. Maybe fourth round at best. All right. Next question from Graham T. Another T. Graham T. Dynasty Superflex. And this is why I wanted to bring this one up, because this is good for a discussion. Dynasty Superflex 12-team league. He has the first pick in a startup.
Fine.
Do you trade down or take Mahomes? That's his question. I am going to go first, Brandon, because I've been doing this in the Dynasty leagues that I'm doing right now. Both are startups. One is a Superflex. One is a one quarterback. Both of them, I don't care if I'm first, I don't care if I'm 12th. I try to trade out of the first round and pick up an extra third, fourth, or fifth, somewhere in that range, somewhere in that, because from what I've seen and how that team is built, to get 3 picks in the first four-ish rounds versus just 1, 2, 3, 4, like, I just, what I come away with, I like a lot more than just keeping my first round pick, especially if I'm sitting at one and I have to wait all the way to 24. I know it's Mahomes and I know it's super flex, but where do you stand on that?
I like that. Absolutely. I mean, I think you're right. I would do that if I couldn't, you know, pick up an extra pick. Like, I would go Mahomes. But look, there's this fusion of some really good quarterbacks that have come into the league. Like, the QB position's 12 strong, and the guys towards the back end are young and up and coming guys. You could take a Trevor Lawrence or a Joe Burrow or, you know, Kyler Murray's. So who knows what you would end up with. If you're going to trade out of the first round completely and pick up an extra pick, is what you're saying?
Yeah. He doesn't say that. I don't.
You would get like a couple extra picks, dude.
I would say if you trade
What's the 1-1 worth in terms of
Superflex? It's a little bit extra. So what I'm saying, like, for me, if I'm trading out a 1-1 from Mahomes in a Superflex, I need basically a third or fourth rounder for like my 20th rounder, like that, or even 18th. Like, it needs to be that big of a difference.
Okay. But you're also picking up. So if you're trading the 1-1, you're trading with that person's first round pick, right?
Or their second. Like, so what I did, so I'll give you an example. My most recent one, I did 107 for, so he ended up with 2 first rounders, but I got his 203. And then his 403. Yeah, because he was third in those both those rounds. So I traded out a 107, and I got 203, 403 for my 107 and for my 18th rounder.
Oh, for your 18th rounder. Okay. So just like your.
Yeah. So 1 and 18 for 2 and 3.
Yeah, I'm good with that. Totally good with that. You're going to get some. Yeah, you're going
to
get some.
I wouldn't, to be clear, Brent, I wouldn't just do a 1 and 212 for like 107 and 205. Like, I wouldn't do that. Or 204. Okay. Like, so, I would just trade back just to trade back.
And how quickly in a dynasty startup super flex do you draft your second quarterback?
Second?
Yeah.
I play it by the room. Basically, yeah. I try to get a top 6-7 quarterback, and then I watch for when that tier starts to go with, like, not Brady, because Brady's too old at this point. Finally, I love we're still holding. I'm looking here. I'd say as soon as. So I'm going to try and get that top. Actually, I would say even
like your second quarterback, you're looking at like a Stafford or a Ryan or somebody like
No, even higher. That, like, once one of the rookies like Lawrence or Fields goes, because Lawrence or Fields still goes behind the top 7. You still have like Wilson and Lamar and Justin Herbert's going to be there, Burrow in his second year. So once you start to hit in that range, like a Jalen Hurts, Aaron Rodgers might still fall in that range, depending if people think he's, like, if he was officially back, he'd still fall in that range. Once those quarterbacks go, that's when I want to hit again. I want to get somebody in that high teens.
Okay. And then the Zach Wilsons and the Sam Darnolds are just the.
It's funny enough that that one that I have, I actually and one quarterback, I actually have Dak, DeSean, and Zach Wilson.
Wow.
Funny enough.
Wow.
So there you go. All right. So this is a very, this is a keeper one. This is for Cole F. 10 team super flex.
Okay.
AJ Brown in the third, Chris Godwin in the seventh, or Tannehill in the 12th.
Super flex, Tannehill in the
12th. I know. That's just like the super. Normally, we'd be like, oh, Tannehill 12th. Who cares? But
yeah, I mean, but Tannehill in the 12th
versus Godwin in the 7th. Like, I think that's we're agreeing it's Godwin or Tannehill, right?
Yeah, exactly. And in a super flex, I might go Tannehill. He just doesn't get enough credit. Like, but the problem is he's probably doing this, what he's doing, for as long as Derrick Henry is doing what he's doing. I mean, it's a good marriage. And playing off of that, you know, beast. So how long is Derrick Henry doing what he's doing? So in a keeper league, is that 2.5 years? You know, it's something like that. But Godwin, on the other hand, it's you know, what happens with him after Brady's gone and the next guy, and he hasn't been. I guess I'm going Tannehill. I'm talking myself into Tannehill.
Yourself into Tannehill?
Yeah.
He's a solid second quarterback. So damn appealing, but yeah. Tannehill in the 12th, because it just lets you open up yourself to take your other quarterback. And then you're not forced to try and
which
attack.
Sucks, right? Like it sucks to make sure you're securing your quality your second quarterback.
One.
Yeah.
Because that's like you'll be
alleviates that.
Yeah, you'll be sitting there like the sixth, seventh round and be like, ooh, this person's falling, but
yeah. And again, the wide receiver is so deep, and there's a lot of like young, potentially good upside receivers going late as well. Maybe not as late in a keeper league, but there are guys that you can get late that are nice speculative. You know, future.
All right, a few more. We get out of here. I'm combining Dylan M and Roy T because non-PPR for Dylan M, I can keep Swift in the seventh or Dobbins in the seventh. And then Roy T just says straight up, I could keep Dobbins or Montgomery. It's Dobbins. Why are people? I'm changing their question, Brandon.
If it was a PPR, I would go Swift, but yeah.
Thank you. I'm glad you disagree because I want to know why. Like, I was going to change the question. My question is, why are people not on Dobbins? As soon as Mark Ingram was done, even with Gus Edwards getting RB3 value almost every single week, he was not missing games. He was out there. I think he missed one, actually. But in all those games, despite that, Dobbins was a top 10 running back. Why don't people want Dobbins?
I do. I love Dobbins. I've been moving Swift up more and more. I just feel like the way Detroit's went about their offseason, it's really just kind of like Jamal Williams. That doesn't scare me in terms of the DeAndre.
You know who scares me is Jared Goff. That's just scary.
Well, yeah, but they're gonna have to. I mean, how in a lineup that has Breshad Perriman and Tyrell Williams and a rookie slot. Like, how are they not just feeding DeAndre Swift every which way? I mean, he can take the ball. TJ Hawkinson. But again, this is not going to be a great defense. I mean, Rome won't be built in a day in terms of that defense. So this is just like, this is going to be like a bad team. That's just going to have to be, you know, playing from behind a lot. And I just really think that sets up well for DeAndre Swift. So I love J.K. Dobbins and, you know, I'm with you on that. I just think DeAndre Swift's right there in the PPR. I think Swift has potential for 60 catches.
I have four spots in between them. I am
in a PPR. You do
half. I mean, it's not going to change. It probably won't even change for PPR because it's Dobbins, Mixon, Gibson, Eckler, Swift. I'd still take all those before I take Swift. And I'm Brandon, go back to our podcast last year.
I know. Last year, I thought you liked him too much. And then
there you go. He was one of my tier one. I had three.
And I was one of the more of the bigger naysayers. And now I'm sort of in on him a lot. We're kind of switched places a little bit. But
all right.
I see Swift and Dobbins very, very close in my mind. I don't have them quite as you know, a disparity between them as you.
All right. So this one I'm bringing up as more of a topic. So this is from Velvet M. Half point PPR league, 12 team can keep two. Jonathan Taylor at 312 and Henry at 4-1. Sound like no brainers. Absolutely. Yeah. No brainers. Do that 10 times.
312, 4-1. Yep. I'm in on both.
Here's the but this is why I want to bring it up. They continued with slightly worried about Indy re-signing Mac and Henry losing Arthur Smith, but maybe that's over. So I don't want to talk about Henry. You're definitely overthinking Henry. So stop. Henry is worth being the fourth pick, let alone 4-1. The Jonathan Taylor is what I want to bring up, because Jonathan Taylor, I'm seeing people push back the past couple days on Twitter, and some people are even mentioning the schedule last year and that the Colts ran through one of the easiest schedules. Are we going to turn? I mean, is Jonathan Taylor going to turn out to be a value at the second half of the first round?
That's just blowing me away that Marlon Mack, I mean, I think it's just as much of a no-brainer on the Indy side as it was on the Tennessee side of this. Like I don't think there's a discussion for either of them. Marlon Mack had an ACL, right? Like, he's coming back from an ACL injury. Am I not? Yeah.
Was it ACL or is it Achilles? Was it ACL?
I'm sure if he could.
I know it's bad. Kind of,
it's an ACL. He tore his ACL. So yeah. I mean, he's coming back in a secondary role. I mean, he's not.
I don't know why. I just thought of the movie quote when he said he's coming back. I don't know why. Has in a body bag.
Coming back.
Put him in a body bag.
I'm not worried about Jonathan Taylor. Was a stud. I think he's fairly well, you know, put his stamp on that backfield as a lead guy. I'm not worried about it at all.
All right. By the way, opening lines, just as we're finishing out the show, Vegas, will Tim Tebow be in the opening day roster? Yes, -200. No, +170. So there you go.
Where are you putting your money?
If I was betting today, I'm not betting it, but if I'm betting today, I'm putting it on the +170.
Yeah. I think it's more of a coin flip, right? Like it's more of a coin flip.
Yeah, so, like if it was 105, 105, 110, 110, like somewhere around, like, yeah. I can see that. But no, you give me that. I'm going to take that. All right, last one for Andrew W. before we get out of here. Superflex Dynasty draft question. And I only bring up Andrew because it's a very specific one, but it's also another strategy for people. Dynasty. I picked some Dynasty stuff today, as you could tell, because it's that time of season. A lot of Dynasty drafts in May. He has Burrow, Cousins, and Cam at quarterback. Those are his three quarterbacks. So essentially 2-point-something quarterbacks.
Point being, how many weeks will Cam play?
Yeah. So the issue that he brings up is he has the 103 and seems pretty simple to say what you would do in Superflex, but his running backs are Sanders, Gibson, and Gaskin. So pretty okay there. His wide receivers are Debo, Gallup, and Marquise Brown. At 103, do you still go quarterback because it's super flex, or do you take Chase?
Jamar Chase, yeah.
Because that's the question. That's why I bring it up, because this is a good dynasty question for people.
Yeah, but then you're out on all the quarterbacks at that point on the comeback.
You're not getting anything on the way back.
I mean, Mac Jones in our draft went like the very last pick of round one.
Yeah, so you'd probably be drafting Mond or Mills or somebody.
But Mond actually makes some sense, right, for this guy who has Kirk Cousins. I mean, so maybe that's your plan. You take Jamar Chase and hope to get Kellen Mond on the comeback.
That's interesting.
Yeah, that way you got your Minnesota quarterback one way or the other.
You're definitely not getting the Cam solution. That's for sure.
No. I would maybe try to trade out of that. Maybe.
I don't know
if that helps you either. I mean, can you get?
The furthest you'd want to trade back is 105.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just trying to think about Terrace Marshall, Kadarius Toney, Elijah Moore, Rondale Moore, Brown.
Are gonna suck at the end of the second round. By the way, so two things on this, Brandon. So one thing is I have a league where I legitimately traded. So I finished second or third in this league. I can't remember. But I traded my second, third, fourth, fifth rookie draft picks for 105. Like I am out. I am done. Yeah, I don't want anything absolutely. In the second round or later. I traded my second, third, fourth, and fifth rounder to get 105. Not in a super flex. Not even 102 or 103. 105, just because I want out of the rest of the picks.
Yeah. In our draft, Michael Carter, the second pick in round two, was the only guy the rest of the way after the first round that I even cared about.
So that's the thing. It's basically what single player do you want in this draft? And that's what it really comes down to, Chase, or it's going to be Lance or Fields. I think I know your wide receivers suck, but I think I got to go to the quarterback and try to address the wide receiver some other way.
Yeah. Maybe you can trade. You know, you can trade somebody down the road. You maybe trade Cousins once. I think you go with the problem is you draft Lance, you can't trade Cousins, and your wide receiver, there's tough capital in terms.
Maybe
of
that's
trade.
The way to go. If Fields goes number two, you take Chase.
Yeah, and if Fields is there, you go Fields. I think that's probably Or do you
Pitts? Do you trade back? Say Pitts?
No, do you trade back for a receiver that's already in the NFL and take a later?
That could be always something too. Trade back to like 106 and a receiver.
Maybe get Zach Wilson and you also get a receiver in the process.
Yeah, I'm start awesome. Floating out offers out there, but hopefully that helped.
Our mock. I just want to say our mock on the Athletic in a super flex. I think it's hard to mock a super flex when you're actually drafting in reality. And you're worried about your quarterback position a lot more than you are for the sake of just like the picture of the mock on the page. Like, I think you just basically get almost five quarterbacks right in a row. Like almost,
easily see that. I think Pitts could slip in there and Chase could slip in there if somebody's sitting pretty.
Yeah. You don't have them spread out like all the way to the 12th.
No. And somebody even asked me that question on Twitter and they said, starting a dynasty super flex, how many of the first picks should be quarterbacks? And I said, honestly, at least five, and I could see seven in a row before you even get to another player.
Right. And like it's almost like the quarterbacks in round one are like what the redraft
running backs are like.
Yeah, exactly. And there's enough good ones that it makes sense.
I mean, honestly, looking at that for Dynasty Superflex, Mahomes, Murray, Allen, Dak, Lamar, Wilson, Herbert, they're Burrow. Those eight are going in the first round. And then if Rogers' situation was cleared up, Rogers,
Lawrence will go early second, right? Or somewhere.
Lawrence and Fields could go early. If Deshaun Watson and Rogers are cleared up, they'd probably be in the first round. Hurts is going to be early second. So, yeah, you gotta have to get your quarterbacks.
Yeah, no doubt.
And you have to get more of us next week. Next week, special guest. You want to announce it, Brandon, or you want to like save everybody, like tease it?
Ooh, it's a big one.
It's a big one.
He's gonna come on, and make lots of noise.
Oh, that was a good tease. That's a good one. That's a lot better than the tease I tried a few weeks ago that got edited out.
We'll let you guys figure it out from there.
We'll be back next Tuesday. Until then, you can hit us up on Twitter at Olin Kidd, at Brandon Funston, and I'll answer more questions than Brandon does because he's off doing other things. We love you guys. Oh, shoot us a 5-star review if you don't mind. Get those ratings up there for us. Help us out, and we'll see you next week.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.